All right, so it's been a few weeks now, and on a Wednesday night, we actually had a prophetic word come forth, and it was about God telling us to embrace the uncomfortable, to get out of our comfort zones. See, God operates out of the uncomfortable a lot of times. He's looking at us to take risks. The Bible is full of people who actually took risks, and then God used them mightily. Noah, he spent nearly 70 years building the ark. He spent 70 years building something that is such a huge undertaking that no right mind would normally actually do that. I'm sure he caught a lot of flack of people going, "What are you wasting your time for?" But it gave him an opportunity to preach righteousness. Hebrews called him a preacher of righteousness. Look at Moses. How many times he went up to Pharaoh saying, "Let my people go." He was willing to stand up to the one that was in charge at the time. Read the entire book of Judges. Every single one of them was willing to take risks. The woman with the flow of blood, she risked her own life and she risked other people being unclean because of her. She took risks. Don't even get me started on the Apostle Paul. You want to talk about taking risks? He didn't play it safe. He risked his life for the gospel. And then we get to Peter and John in the book of Acts. And so I'm actually going to start in Acts 3 here, talking, just giving you a summary of what's going on. And Acts 3 is a familiar story for many of us. See, Peter and John, they were just on their way to the temple to pray. They saw a lame man, and he was asking for some money. You guys know the story. "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I give you, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk." And he did. And that whole one act of obedience set off an entire chain of events afterwards. See, the people started flocking to him because of the miracle they just saw take place. And Peter and John, they were the first ones to give God all the glory for it. And they started pointing to Jesus and preaching the gospel. And because they were preaching Jesus and the resurrection of the dead, well, the Sadducees, they didn't really care for it. See, the Sadducees, they didn't believe in the resurrection. So they wanted to put a stop to it, so they had Peter and John arrested. You would think that might shut someone up, right? No, not in this case. So Peter and John, they continue to praise Jesus through this all. They maintain the boldness they had in the faith in Jesus. They were brought before the Sanhedrin, the rulers and elders of Israel at the time, and they continue to preach the gospel to them. You know, they could have backed down. Okay, we already got arrested. Let's try to make this the easiest way to get out. Let's just go, okay, well, what can we get a slap on the wrist? No. They preached Jesus. We don't know how many people that day that they talked to. I believe there were some seeds planted in that time. Even amongst the rulers, there were seeds planted. And because Holy Spirit empowered them, and they preached, and they realized that these were uneducated fishermen, some people that were fairly low on the chain of people, they realized that there had to be something going on here. And because they didn't want to make a scene, they just went ahead and figured out a way to send them out. And they just said, okay, well, don't teach or preach in the name of Jesus anymore. Their response, again, was not just to go, okay, well, we got off the hook pretty easy. Hey, let's go ahead and try to, we'll just tell them that, okay, and then just preach in the name of Jesus. No. They continue to take risks. I'm going to read this out of Acts 4:19 before we get to Acts 5. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. They didn't know what the Sanhedrin's response to this was going to be, but they knew what God was telling them. They were willing to take that risk. So they got sent away, and they let the other disciples know about how they had been threatened. So they all prayed for boldness at that point. And that is exactly what God answered and gave them. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place where they assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Again, with the shaking that we just talked about a few weeks ago here. Anybody else love it when God reveals something to you and then you start seeing it all over in His Word? I don't know, that was just one thing that jumped out at me. But see, God gave them boldness. They continued to preach Jesus, Jesus resurrected, with authority and boldness. And here we get to our main scripture for this morning. It's Acts 5, and we're going to start in verse 17, and we're going to go for a little ways, actually. Then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with them, which is the sect of the Sanhedrin. And they were filled with indignation, and they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those who with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, indeed, we found the prison shut securely, the guards standing outside the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside. Oh, it's good. Now when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priests all heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So one came and told them, saying, look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Oh, that's awesome. Then the captain went to the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in his name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with doctrine and intended to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. I had to read that whole thing. That's such good news. Such a great way to see the apostles living out what God was telling them to do. They did not play it safe one bit there. They were willing to take the risks. You can keep reading there, but God delivered them from the hand of the leaders again. Wisdom came to one of the men in the group and they said, hey, if this isn't of God, it's going to fail. But if they try to stop it, then they're going to be facing trying to oppose God, which they don't really want to do. See, the apostles weren't freed to have an escape plan just to get themselves out. They were freed to do what God told them to do. But out of that obedience, God made a way for them to be released even. Had the disciples not been bold, had they not taken those risks, they would have missed the kingdom of God. Likewise with us today. He's not looking for us to remain in our comfort zones. We want things to be just right before we act. We want to know what the outcome is before we do our part. Ecclesiastes 11:4, and this is out of the New King James Version, says, "He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap." Let me read that out of the New Living Translation, though. "Farmers who wait for the perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest." And other translations say along the same lines. And it's such a fitting analogy for specifically this time of year for us. I don't say, Danny, you farm for a number of years. If you waited until you thought you were through any possibility of it frosting, it would be the end of May by the time you even hooked onto the disc, before you even put one seed in the ground. If you waited until you thought that, oh, well, there's no way that it's going to get washed out and that field's going to get flooded. No. You had to go at some point. If you try to wait until it's, oh, well, yeah, all the moisture is going to be out of those beans. It's good to pick now, or cut beans. Just in case any farmers are being picky on me. I learned that when I first moved down here. You cut beans and you pick corn. You don't pick beans. You shell corn. All right. See, Danny's giving me grace. Oh. But long and short, if you wait until things are just right, if you wait until you know that it's going to be safe, you're always going to have an excuse. Am I right?
Right.
If we're waiting on everything to be perfect, we're going to miss it. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." If we act when we don't know the outcome, it's faith. Are you guys hearing me? If we act when we don't know the outcome, it's faith. Faith involves unanswered questions. We don't have to know all the details. It's okay to take risks when it comes to the kingdom of God. Does it just mean to do something and hope God blesses it? Or hope that God will help with it? No. It's paying attention to what God has revealed to us and then doing it. Taking the risk is really just a risk in our own mind if God has told us that. If God gave us an instruction to do, He will honor it. It's not really a risk at that point. What God has revealed, He will do. Once God says it, it's time to do it. It will build our faith. We were talking about victory earlier. You guys would have never known that I was using this next illustration here. See, in 1863, Colonel Joshua Chamberlain and his 300 soldier regiment was all that stood between the Confederates and certain defeat for the Union at Little Round Top in Gettysburg. Early in the afternoon one day, the Confederate armies charged, but Chamberlain and his men held their ground. It was followed by a second, third, fourth, and a fifth charge. At the end of that fifth charge, there were only 80 Union soldiers still standing. Chamberlain himself even was knocked down by a bullet, but it hit his belt buckle. He didn't just stand back up. He took a stand that forever changed history. He was notified that there were no reinforcements on their way and that they were down through the last round of bullets. He knew he had to act decisively. The young boy on the lookout that was looking down at what the Confederates were doing said they were starting to form rank again. The rational thing to do at that point would be surrender. But Chamberlain wasn't going to let it go that way. He made a decision that turned the tide of the war and saved the Union. He climbed up on a large rock and gave a command. He grabbed his sword and he yelled, "Charge!" So the soldiers attached their bayonets and charged an enemy that completely outnumbered them. They won what was probably the most improbable victory in military history. 80 Union soldiers charged and captured 4,000 Confederates in 5 minutes. What seemed like a suicide mission saved the Union. Historians believe that if had Chamberlain not made that stand, they would have lost the battle, not only of Little Big Top or Little Round Top, but also of Gettysburg and likely the Civil War. We can't run away from what we're afraid of. We need to take a stand. See, later, when Chamberlain, when he was asked about that battle, he had this to say. "I knew I may die, but I also knew that I would not die with a bullet in my back. I had deep within me the inability to do nothing. I had deep within me the inability to do nothing." Jesus himself had that kind of attitude. Jesus himself did not have the ability to do nothing. We can't be passive. We've got to have passion. Inaction is an action. We must take risks. We must open our mouths and declare what God is telling us. As a Christian, we need to ask ourselves this. Are we trying just not to sin, or are we looking to take the light into the darkness? I'll say, we even sang about that this morning. God wants us to get out of our comfort zones and fan the flame that he's given us. Get used to different. Man, I love that line from the first season of Chosen. Get used to different. We've become so content with the familiar. We love our routines. Trust me, I'm one of them. I love my routines. I like waking up at the same time, even if it's the weekend. I like drinking my coffee in the morning. I like the regular things. But get used to different. Don't think that because someone had a past that they can't be used by God. So what if you don't care how they used to be? The way they acted. Some of the things they might have done or talked about. Just trying to be real here. There's nothing new under the sun. I'll say, if you guys are catching the season 2 of The Chosen, you'll see that the way that season one ended, where the disciples weren't really sure about some of the other disciples Jesus was calling, you think all the disciples got along? I'll say it's a great way. That's one of the things that it's really done, is that it's opened your eyes to seeing that, hey, just because Jesus called them doesn't mean that they all saw eye to eye. You think anybody went, oh, well, if my rabbi says thinks that he's worth following him, that he must have a good sense of character? No. They're having to shed off a lot of their old themselves, realizing that, hey, I was one way, but now I'm another. And I'm appreciative that you guys are not like me. I'm serious, because we would all be, and I'm sure you guys are glad you're not like me also, because it would be hard if we're all the same, because we would get on our nerves so much and not even realize it. But he made us each unique, and we bring out the best in each other. Gathering as a body is not for us just to get together and feel good. Yes, sometimes you might need lifted up when we gather together. But it's meant to be an active thing, gathering. The last thing that most of us need is another sermon. Gathering together, we can hear from God collectively and get recharged. But we're recharged to go back out and do it again. But then as we go, do what God is calling us to do. Christianity is not a spectator sport. It's meant to be actively participated in. We're at a pivotal time as a church in this nation. I believe God is calling his church, his ecclesia, to rise up in this time. He's wanting us to spring to life. He's wanting us to go all in. The days are here that we can no longer be on the fence. That we're making a decision one way or the other. Stuff's going on in the world, and it's no longer a, well, we'll see. Well, I'm not sure. No, it's pretty obvious. A lot of people aren't going to let you be on the fence. But what we can do is know where we stand on the stance for that and be confident in what God is telling us about it. Letting Jesus be Lord of our life is not just saying we believe in him and that's our way to salvation. It's letting him be the one that leads us, to tell us where to go and who to interact with. Not everyone's called to do street evangelism, but we are all called to share the gospel. We aren't to be silent about our faith. Whether talking to someone you don't know, or if you're having a conversation with somebody that you do know, and you're talking to them and you're listening to them and you're going, man, I know exactly what the solution to this is, and that is Jesus. The problem you're going through, the solution is Jesus. We have to be willing to take risks. Their eternal destination may just depend on it. Risks, when we look at it from the eternal aspect, it's not even a risk at all. If we know the outcome, it's hardly considered a risk. The outcome is that Jesus is victorious and the enemy is defeated, both in heaven for eternity and here on earth. We can have confidence in Jesus. No, don't get me wrong. It's not a name it, claim it, and it's going to make it happen. No, it's when you're listening for the leading of God, and then you act on it. God honors the faithful. I'm sure many of you will recognize this next verse that I'm going to say. I think there's even a song that has a good portion of it as the chorus, where it says, "For me to live is Christ. For me to live for Christ, to die is gain." Philippians 1, I'm going to do it, start in 19 though. I always like to go a couple verses beforehand or a couple verses after to get context here. But this is so good and so fitting for today. "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul draws this from the indwelling Holy Spirit in all circumstances. He had an expectation and hope that he would not be ashamed. The gospel is nothing to be ashamed about. With all boldness. When you start looking for that word "all," it just jumps out at you sometimes. With all boldness. Whether we live or we die, Jesus is magnified. We were made unique for a purpose. We were meant to be different, to look different, not to just blend into the world, you know, not to be playing it safe. Playing it safe, it just protects us. If I'm going to be productive for His glory, not my own, I'm going to take risks. Sometimes our comfort zones aren't even really comfortable, but they are familiar. We would rather live in our uncomfort because it's familiar. Comfort zones, the thing about comfort zones is you take one step outside of your comfort zone and you realize it's not as bad as I thought. And then you get comfortable in that, or get used to that. Take another step out, you realize that you can do this. And before you know it, you're clear over there, way outside of what originally was your comfort zone. But you got to start somewhere. Everybody's comfort zone is different, but we start somewhere. Some of you guys have been at New Life for a long time. And New Life, you guys know, did not start out in this wonderful facility. The last thing that people were probably thinking when they were meeting in the basement of 411 Pontiac was that they would eventually be taking over the old John Deere dealership. At that point, the John Deere dealership was probably still a John Deere dealership. Probably still a thriving business. But had they not stepped out of their comfort zone and started, none of this would have happened. Or it may have happened, but it just used, God used somebody else to do it. But out of their obedience and their faithfulness, New Life came. The purpose for New Life has not changed since it was founded. It's still to be an effective presence for God in this community. Still to be a light in this area. Salt to give flavor. I'm preaching to myself this morning as much as anybody. Our comfort zone isn't where we should be staying. Yes, there might be times that we need to come back to our comfort zone and recharge, but there's so much more available to us if we would just take that step out. Amen? Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you for the risks that you allow us to take, God. Lord, we pray for an awareness of what risks we need to walk into, God. Lord, we pray for you to expose those and lead us into that, God. And then we take the step in obedience. Lord, build our confidence, Lord. Let us see your hand at work, God. Lord, we are listening for your voice. God, we don't want to take the step unless you tell us to take the step, but if you tell us to take the step, God, we want to know it is you to take that step. Lord, help us embrace the uncomfortable. Lord, we shed off the familiar, God. Whatever you are wanting to do is what we are wanting to do, God. Lord, have your way. Have your way, Jesus. We want your will to be done in this time, God. We want your kingdom to be proclaimed in this area, God. Lord, help us realize our influence, Lord. Help us realize what we have authority over, God. Lord, we speak to those areas that we have authority in, and we welcome your presence, Lord. Lord, help us be the light in the darkness, God. Lord, help us take that light to the darkness as well, God. We praise you. We love you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.